Roll the tape.
This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Here's where you get the Tasmanian racing edge. Now on Carnival, welcome to Tas Racing Talk. Here's Shane Yates.
Hello, thanks for joining us on Tas Racing Talk. Today we'll speak to Tasmanian co-development managers of Harness Racing and the Thoroughbred World, Kevin Nielsen and Simon Stout. Tas Racing journalist Peter Staples will be along with tipster Jamie Cockshutt, to look at the two harness racing meetings coming up at the weekend, and everything in greyhound racing will be covered by Greg Fay and Rick Puccinelli. And of course, there's the ultimate punters experience, the big quiz. You can win a return trip for two to Tassie, car hire, accommodation, thanks to our partners Rest Point and the Launceston Country Club. You can wine and dine at tracks around the state. All you need to do is answer the question that'll be coming up at the end of the show, and it will come from the show itself. So be listening over the next hour for a clue to our ultimate punters experience quiz. All you need to do is go to tasracing.com.au, click on the Tas Racing icon, and enter the quiz from there. So stay with us for the next 60 minutes.
They're racing
now on Tas Racing Talk. Time to talk thoroughbreds.
Co-development manager for Tas Racing in the Thoroughbred World is joining us online today. How are you, Simon?
Terrific, Shane. Yeah, trying to keep warm up here at Sunny Straighton at the moment. In the midst of the meeting at Devonport.
Yeah, a little bit on the wet side today, that's for sure. Now let's have a look at the interstate performances of the Tasmanian runners during the week, and we start off with the cleaner.
Yeah, terrific performance in the final of the Winter Championship. He led up right throughout with the 60 kilos and it was just found wanting over the last two concluding stages by the very promising horse in Kavaroon. And it was what nearly was a very solid week for Armadale Star, given he's by their late sire in Savoir Vivre, and they also bred the Grafton Cup winner earlier in the week in Queenstown, prepared by Gay Waterhouse, and of course raced by Denise Martin and Star Thoroughbreds. And we also saw Kendrawood, one of our better 2 and 3 year olds the previous season, return to the winner's circle at Bendigo in a big way midweek, relished the heavy conditions there, and that was a terrific result for Darren Kennedy and his group of owners that, despite the few issues that he's had, have had the faith in the horse to send him over to Peter Moody.
Now, we had a top program in Hobart last week. What did you see as the highlights?
Yeah, well, certainly the performance of Brendan McCool was an absolute standout. He put on a riding clinic. 7 rides for the day and 5 winners. He was in exceptional form and did not miss a beat all day. He kicked his day off with what was a training performance, I thought, of great note, was the effort of Terry Evans to prepare 2-year-old Concrete Johnny first up without a trial in rain-affected ground to win over 1,100 metres. And, you know, he's certainly a promising type going forward. He's a full brother to Terry's good 3-year-old in Inner Warrior. And unlike Inner Warrior, has already shown a capacity to really enjoy Hobart. So, he'll certainly make his presence felt when we get to the summer and our better 3-year-old races.
There are a couple of the great products available on tasracing.com.au, Stride Master and Video, to give punters the edge. What did you find from that meeting in Hobart?
Yeah, we'll kick off with race 2 and certainly the video, and it was backed up by the Stride Master sectionals, was the performance of Bling Dynasty behind Bideford, who we've mentioned here in previous weeks. Bling Dynasty was having his first start for Brendan McShane. He had the addition of the blinkers and being gelded. He'd had the ultimate gear change, but his performance was much improved. He came from well back in the field, was held up momentarily within the straight and finished very strongly for second. We then moved on to race 4, the maiden 1400, in which both Lacey As, the winner, and Spirit of Naya carved out terrific sectionals for their last 600 and last 400. And interesting, Spirit of Naya is an acceptor for Launceston this week. So she's certainly got a hoof on the till, and hopefully she can find that first winner stall sooner rather than later. Then through to race 6. This was a terrific race which saw the clash of Havana Stash, Van Diemen's Fire, and also the mare in terrific form in Tuesday Night Delight. And interestingly, the first four horses home all carved out sub 37 second last 600 metres, which were the best sectionals of the day. And in particular, the efforts of Van Diemen's Fire and Tuesday Night Delight, who broke 25 for their last 400, which by far and away were some of the best sectionals of the day. And finally, to round out the program, at race seven, the class two over 1200 metres, Planetary, who was a maiden winner in Hobart recently. He came from back in the field. He's obviously eligible for a class one race, and he finished off very strongly, running 38.2 for his last 600, and it was one of the better times of the day, so he's worth following. And also the third horse in that race, Lauren Starr. She was first up, and she was only beaten a length and a half, but she actually managed to break 11 seconds between the 1,000 and the 800. So, you know, she's probably done a little bit of work mid-race, and sort of hang on and only beaten a length and a half means that she's in for good preparation and will be worth following.
So racing this weekend, we're racing on Saturday. What was the opportunity there?
Well, yeah, we were fortunate enough. Victoria haven't scheduled a provincial meeting on Saturday. And as a result of that, Sky Channel have offered Tasmania the opportunity to transfer our meeting from Sky One on Sunday to Sky One coverage on Saturday. So in consultation with the TTC and the Think Pink organisation, we were able to move that meeting to the Saturday and take full advantage of Sky One coverage in amongst the best racing of the week right throughout Australia.
Well, a great bonus for Tasmanian Racing and the club, and also the Think Pink Day. It's going to be a super day in Launceston. We've got a big card coming up. Anything standing out that punters can follow with confidence?
Yeah, we've found a handful here, Shane. We'll start off with in race two with number four Chimed In. She's a mare in terrific form, as we've mentioned, and as we pointed out the other week with the value of the Stridemaster data, she got caught up in a race where there wasn't a great deal of a strong tempo behind Genuine Lad, but she came from off the speed, finished very strongly, and I think she can hold her form yet again. Race three, we can move on to the two-year-old handicap. We've got two maiden horses here that have shown up, one off the video and one off the sectionals. The first of those is six, Visha. Visha's posted two very even performances at its only two starts, one behind Inner Warrior. Valiant Warrior here at Devonport, and the other at Hobart behind Midnight Tears. And from both of those runs, we've had good sectionals from her on the Stridemaster, and that form's been franked by today by the winner of the first in Gigi's Baritone. And the other is Arachne. If you go back to her video behind Valiant Warrior at Launceston, she did quite a bit of work from an outside draw and outside the leader, and just weak and late and straight, but we think she can come on from that run. We move to race six, and Aventador. This bloke, he's a big, strong fellow. He got back here the other day at Devonport behind Private Currency, but charged to the line and broke 48 seconds for his last 800, which certainly says he's heading in the right direction and a horse that's very, very capable. It's just a matter of luck in running with him if he's going to get that far back again. But he's certainly well worth paying attention to. And finally, race seven, good mare Laluca Bell. We saw again her form franked on Sunday with the good run of Landstar. But her superior section was on the day that she won at the 22nd of June. Say that she can overcome that the 1.5 kilo increase in weight from her last win.
And our leading apprentice in the state off to New South Wales.
Yeah, Bulamuku will head to Hawkesbury on Sunday in the final leg of the National Apprentices Challenge. Unfortunately, we can't win it, but we're running second at the moment. South Australia have got themselves an unassailable lead, but hopefully Bulam can draw well in terms of his rides and give them every opportunity, which he certainly is in good enough form to do so, and Tasmania can hold their place in terms of running second in the series. And also, Shane, we've got just a reminder that the Evening with Chris Waller is coming up with the TTC, and that'll be a fascinating evening. I'm looking forward to getting along and hearing Chris and finding out a little bit more about his story. But if you're interested in getting hold of tickets, you can do so via the TTC on 6326 1070.
Good on you, Simon. Thanks for your thoughts today. And, of course, for all other information, just head to tasracing.com.au and gain the edge in Tasmanian thoroughbred action. Thanks for your time again today.
Pleasure, Shane.
Racing journalist for Taz Racing joins us now on Taz Racing Talk, Peter Staples. How are you, Pete?
I'm good, Shane. Fresh from a holiday and ripped and ready to go.
Now, they tell me you're a bit of a handyman.
No, I don't talk about that. Worst thing in the world is when you do some handyman work in the holidays and the wife says, you did a really good job. And you say, thank you very much. An hour later, she hands you a list. Fatal error.
You've come back to work for a spell. So let's have a look at while you're on holidays. What about the run of the cleaner?
Oh, super run. Absolutely super run. As game as they come, as always is the case with the cleaner. Mickey Bells gets the best out of this this horse, and I'm sure that whatever he does in the near future interstate, he's going to be very, very competitive. Mick has confirmed that he will target the Wait for Age races, during the summer carnival with the cleaner, 14 to 1600 metre races.
We've also got another Tasmanian heading off to the mainland shortly.
We have Spy Wears Prado. This is one trained by Diane Ray Luttrell. And he made it two in a row this prep in Hobart last Sunday. And he's an absolute mudlark. So Diane was hoping to take the horse to Melbourne last season. And this season he gets the opportunity to go over. Diane was thrilled after the race. And breeder David Cochran said that she can take him over, so she's now planning to where to run him in Melbourne on the wet tracks, and he's going to be very competitive whatever he goes in.
Now, racing this weekend is back to a Saturday for Launceston, an 8-event card. Saturday afternoon racing should be good for Tasmanian punters.
Yeah, it'll be terrific. All on Sky One. It's a terrific meeting, and it's Stink Pink Day, and big function in the main grandstand, and there's heaps of things on offer, auctions and all those sort of things. A great lunch day. And it's a huge, huge meeting. It transfers to the north of the state for the first time. Generally housed in Hobart, but they've moved it up, and it should be a great day.
Well, for everyone punting on the meeting, let's have a look at that quaddie, the all-important quaddie, the last four races on the program. Race number five, you'll have to have your thinking cap on here because it's the two-year-old and up maiden plate over 1,200.
Yeah, look, it's an interesting race, this. Look, number one, Dream Roller. I like him as a type. Troy Blacker prepares him. He's related to his good horse, Dream Peddler. And I think, look, he only has to improve slightly on what he's shown. He led and was taken on both times he ran, and I just think he might be a better proposition. He's drawn barrier 10. Bullet Mookie takes the ride. Bullet Mookie no longer claims, so he's a non-claiming apprentice, but he is our leading apprentice. I thought Dreamwild would be a huge chance. Along with number six, Silver Bernini, this one of Mark Gandon's. They tried it on the bill at Devonport. Things didn't go right with it, but where there's smoke, there's fire. So you'd certainly want to be having a good look at Silver Bernini. Number 12, Squibet, this one of Adam Trinder's, Daniel Gandon and DeRide. It's certainly been placed in its past two starts and wants respect. And I saw one trial here of Bill Ryan's. At Devonport on Tuesday morning, called Siobhan Bell. Did nothing on the booth, spelled it, but it really impressed me the way it hit the line, and it's certainly going to be a chance. Drawn out wide, I'd be looking at popping that in for the quaddie. 1, 6, 12 and 13.
Just looking at the stats during the week, Pete, Billy Ryan, the highest winning strike rate in the state as far as trainers go.
Yeah, and Bill's always got at least two or three decent horses in his midst. And Iggy McCool, well, he had the star three-year-old filly. She won, almost got the triple crown for three-year-old filly. She won the 1,000 guineas, got beat in the Strut Stakes and come out and won the Tasmanian Oaks. And she was competitive when she went to Melbourne. And she resumed with a trial on Tuesday, and she was impressive running third to second dozen. So she's one of his stable stars. But he's got plenty. And Genuine Lad's another one that'll probably progress and go to the Cups during the summer carnival. He's a good trainer, Bill. He has not a great amount of horses in work, but what he does have, he usually has three or four that go extremely well.
What about the chances of number two, GG's Clang? It's had the 10 starts, it's been placed four times, and three of those have come in the last five starts. Hasn't been too far away of late.
It hasn't. The run in Hobart behind Solandro was full of merit. And you go back two starts at Hobart again, and even its fourth to Chips, in Launceston on the 22nd of June was a terrific run. And it's certainly one that you've got to include in the quaddy. But I like Aventador. He flashed home at Devonport last start and had no luck whatsoever. Had luck and it was all bad. And I really like Aventador. I think he's one of the best bets on the card in race number six. Number one, Aventador, prepared by Dylan Clark, a promising young trainer that we've got who trains out of the George Bucker stables at Longford. And he's got a big future, does Dylan Clark. I like Aventador. GG's Clean was in race five, wasn't it?
It was, but you've quickly moved on. You've given that the flick and moved on to one of your best in race six, so that's fine, number one.
Well, I was pretty keen to get there. That was a thing. Aventador, I do like it a lot. Triple B, number two. Seven Isn't Life Strange. Probably Seven Isn't Life Strange would be the main danger. And its stablemate, Perplexing, is first up from a spell and has been working okay. So, but I do like Aventador. I think he's got a bright future and he's making him my best for the day.
Now, we mentioned Mick Burles with the cleaner. He's got Triple B going around in race six.
Yeah, look, Triple B. I thought it was Sage Shade disappointing last time. There are obviously excuses for it on the synthetic track. But it's one before, second behind our mate Album was good before that. And, of course, it won on the 25th of May. Beat Lacey As, and Lacey As finally came out and won her maiden. This four-year-old mare in Hobart last Sunday. So Triple B's got to be a contender, and you certainly have it in your quaddy. 1, 2, 7, and 10 for me in that second leg.
What about the form of Chips, the last start winner?
Chips has won on the 22nd of June, beat Spirit of Naya and Bideford, and Bideford since come out and won. So there's good form around that. Spirit of Naya was second at its subsequent outing. I just think the way the race will be run, Barrier 8's going to have to try and go forward. Rhonda Mangan's going to ride it. Look, I can't put them all in, but I couldn't have it in my top four.
Okay, so we're on the top eight there as one of your best for the day. And then we head to the Think Pink Cup, which is not the Think Big Cup. It's the Think Pink Cup. It's over 1,200 metres and some smart types in this.
There's no Think Bigs in there. They're over 1,200 metres to start with. But interesting race this. Darcill from the David Miller stable, second up. I thought it might be a chance. Anthony Darmanin, I've talked to him. He thought it was probably one of his best rides on the program. And I tend to agree with him, Darcill. It'd be good each way value for Darcill. That's the one good thing about it. Only an 8-horse field. Drawn gate 5. It'll go forward and just sit near, just off the speed. It's going to be a good chance, Darcill. GG Style, geez, it was a good run last start. Absolutely tough. Never better than 3 wide and just kept coming and coming in the straight. Certainly full of merit, GG Style. You've got to include it. Luluka Bell, one first up for Bill Ryan and Brendan McCool. What a great combination. And here's Bill again. It beat Moonless last time and Tuck Toyuck Tuck. That was on June the 22nd. A very, very talented 5-year-old mare, and I would expect they're to be very competitive again. They are the top chances for me, 2, 3, and 5.
And in the final leg, which is the Class 2 handicap, it's over the 1,400. Well, Private Currency bolted in first up from a spell and then overcame problems to win last time out. Can it make it 3 in a row?
Well, I think it can. I'll have it on top. Winning form is good form. And even Mundine from the George Baker stable, number 3, I think 1 and 3 will fight this out. On exposed form anyway, Mundine's going for a hat-trick, the same as Private Currency. Mundine's one in Hobart last start was very impressive. He was in an awkward spot at one stage, but he was taken to the outside by Brendan McCool, and then he found a good path in the home straight. He tried to lay in a little bit, the last little bit, but he was just too good for them. Beat GG's Prairie and Summer Downs. And that was over the 1,400 metres. Prior to that, he was a winner over the same ground on a heavy track. So the rain is in Launceston at the moment, so we should expect certainly at best a slow track. And, that's how I see him. Private Currency Monday to fight it out. Deceitful Cove, number 5, could sneak into a place 1, 3, and 5 in the last.
So how should we go about picking out a quaddie?
Well, I think in the quaddie in the first leg, we should take 1, 2, 6, 12, and 13. You'll have to go wide in the first leg. 1, 2, 6, 12, and 13. And I think we can find it down to 1 and 7. Aventador and Isn't Life Strange in the second leg. 2, 3, and 5 in the third. And then I think we can just take 1 and 3 in the last. So go big in the first leg, narrow in the second, take three in the third, and two in the last.
And what about a best bet or two to help out with those handyman costs going forward?
Well, I'll try and get all my expenses back off of Aventador, race six, number one, this one of Dylan Clark's. I like it a lot, and I'll be having most of my hard-earned on race six, number one.
Well, you've become the face of racing in Tasmania, Pete. You're going to become the face of Bunnings. I can see it in the future. Look like Kenny Rogers at Bunnings. I can see people talking about it now. Thanks for your time again today.
Thanks, Shane.
They're set. Away they go.
Now on Tas Racing Talk. Time to talk harness racing.
Co-development manager of Harness Racing in Tasmania, Kevin Nielsen, joins us now on Tas Racing Talk. How are you, Kev?
Yes, well, thanks, Shane.
Sounding a little husky this morning.
Oh, that happens at times during winter.
A few better menthols will fix you. Now, Alex Ashwood hasn't had any problems of late. He's firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, follow him of a Wednesday, Shane, might be the message. Continue that Wednesday strike rate with another double last week. He drove Western Gretel at Maryborough, followed up that night with Melita Bromack at Geelong. And that double followed a treble the previous Wednesday at Ballarat. So, Alex Ashwood of a Wednesday. Later on, she must be close to another win going on her last two runs at Menangle. On Saturday night, she was again a fast finishing second after a similar run the previous week when fourth to Delightful Christian. Now, of course, she's owned by leading Tasmanian trainer Zeke Slater and now trained in New South Wales by Dennis Wilson. Crowder Impulse, the filly for Wayne and Gay Rattray. She was a bit hard to control, I think, when she went up there in about March, April, Shane. But since then, James Rattray has obviously done a lot of work with this filly. And the outcome was that last Saturday night in a $50,000 race for two-year-old fillies, she was a very good run. Used up early, got cover, and then battled on very well for third placing. So he's done a great job with Corrado Impulse, James Rattray. Did a great job for himself yesterday at Menangle, James. He drove a double, and one was with a horse he trains, Glencore, and the other one was a horse called Funny Boy. And Funny Boy is trained by his distant cousin, Ken Rattray. And Ken left, we spoke about Ken last week, and Star of Broadway and so on. Well, James has teamed up with him yesterday to drive one of his two winners.
And we've got another big night coming up at Milton this Saturday.
No, they're everywhere, Shane. Tessin's O kicks the ball off for Tasmania in race one, where she's number five. It's a $17,000 M1, M2. And Rodney Ashwood has broadband as first emergency in race two, where it's drawn barrier nine. It's an MO worth $16,500. And if he gains a start broadband, it'll be his first mainland start for broadband. Good record in Tasmania, 31 starts, 10 wins, 10 placings. So he should measure up on the mainland broadband. And what I'm sure that will measure up is a classy three-year-old Franco Sheffield. He's won six from eight in Tasmania. Very good second to the smart, clamorous last Sunday at Launceston. And he's in a $20,000 three-year-old race, a feature race, to race four, number 10. So there'll be a lot of Tasmanian eyes on Franco Sheffield there on Saturday night. David Dwyer's got the majority as the first emergency in race seven, where it's drawn barrier eight. And a couple of little asides to the meeting at Melton on Saturday night. Bertie Mack, we spoke about Bertie Mack being out of Pixel Perfect, an Art Major Amarillin filly that was sold by Fred and Pauline Barker at the 2008 Tasmanian Yearling Sales. Well, this week Luke McCarthy's come out and said Bertie Mack may well be the best two-year-old he's driven. That'll be put to the test at Melton on Saturday night when he fronts up against another boom two-year-old in a horse called Burn a Hole in My Pocket for Andy Gaff, and he's drawn inside him. So that should be an interesting race for Tasmanians as well, race five. And the very smart two-year-old filly Follow the Wind, who won the Blue Bonnet here in Hobart about a month ago, she was due to go around in the fillies division of the $50,000 Tatlow Stakes, but she was only first emergency. And with that in mind, considering they only intended to have one run in Melbourne, the connections have decided to scratch her and leave her at home, and she wasn't even declared in the field. So we could have had even one more there. And at Menangle on Saturday night, later on in Delightful Christian, the two quality mares, high-quality mares, they're up with the best in Australia. They meet again in race three. It's only a $10,000 mares race, and as they're the best-performed horses in the event, they've drawn out in barriers 9 and 10. But it will be good to see those two go around again.
And two meetings coming up over the weekend, Kev, Hobart on Sunday night and Devonport Monday.
Yeah, well, a lot of the stars are interstate. We mentioned most of them in the previous 2 or 3 minutes, Shane, but there's still some interesting factors about the meeting in Hobart on Sunday night. And a horse that creates a lot of interest is the three-year-old filly by the name of Fon SK in race four. Now, she's by four-star Shark out of SK Precious, bred by Max Hadley and Fred and Pauline Barker. And I think, tragically, I think SK Precious died shortly after that foal was born, or they weren't able to get her in foal again, so this is her only foal. And she was one of Tasmania's best juveniles, SK Precious. She won the bandbox final for three-year-old fillies, Tasbreds, in 2008, and was second in the four-year-old division in 2009, being the Granny Smith. And she was also third in the Tasmanian Oaks. So it'll be interesting to see how Fon SK goes around in race four. Angela DeMarco, the three-year-old filly, is racing out of class in a C1 when the CO was deleted due to insufficient acceptors, and she'll be attempting to win her third race in the last four starts. Days like this, the filly for Brian Stanley will certainly appreciate the drop in class, in the $8,000 Talon Bodyworks Belmont, and of course she's been placed behind Forzia in a heat and the final of the Avicus of the last two runs. Great to see Resurgent Spirit back in the winner's list on Monday night. And he did it in solid style. It was only a five-horse field. It was a Breeders' Crown heat. He led up, but he won like the Resurgent Spirit of old, I thought. And he must have pulled up pretty well because Roger Whitmore sending him around again on Sunday night, race five for C3, C4 paces, and he's got an awkward draw from inside the second line.
And another eight races coming up at Devonport on Monday night. And all the form analysis for both meetings can be found on the tasracing.com.au website in the Punters Corner section. Thanks for your time again today, Kev.
Yeah, my pleasure again, Shane.
Tas Racing Talk. Everything you need to get the edge.
Two big programs coming up over the weekend. Hobart on Sunday night, Devonport on Monday in the Harness Racing World. And the tippers, all the winners, Jamie Cockshutt. How are you, Jamie?
Yeah, not too bad, Shane, mate.
Now, looking forward to this program on Sunday. We've got the first leg of the quaddie race, number five, and it was great to see Resurgent Spirit back in the winners list last week.
Yeah, it was, Shane. He deserved to win another race. He drew well, led, walked, and, yeah, got away with it, mate. But Sunday night's going to be a bit harder for him from where he's drawn. There's a very nice horse in it called Giuliani. Got a lot of time for him. He's got a very good record, and he just needed time to mature. And Zeke Slater's give him a good break, and he's resumes on Sunday night. And I think he'd be very hard to beat. But Resurgent Spirit, drawn inside the back row, so he's going to need a bit of luck early, whether they follow through or try and get off at the, early and settle back at the rear. He's going to have his work cut out to come around, but you can't ride him off, mate, because he's a very, very good horse, as we all know. Lucifer Express is racing very well. It's drawn the pole, so if she can hold up, she's going to give plenty of cheek out in front, mate, because I reckon there'll be no pressure probably for the first 800, so you'll get an easy lead if she can hold up. Blue Chip Harry was a good winner last week, sitting in the breeze and battled away strongly and just held on from Punt Road Disco. Another Jasper returns from Melbourne where, he went okay. He wasn't disgraced, but before he went, he was a very impressive winner at Hobart. So if he has any luck in the draw, he'll have to be a chance at each way odds as well. But happy to go 10 Giuliani to beat 8 Resurgent Spirit, 1 R Lucifer Express, and Blue Chief Harry and another Jasper to fight out 4th, mate.
Now, only 8 to go around in race number 6, Jamie, but Our Mill's Dream giving them a 20-metre start.
Yeah, I think he's a bit harshly handicapped, to be honest, top 20. But he's racing well since he's come to Tassie. So, but Devendra, as we know, he's a very classy horse. He's got a win over Patrick Curdy in the final of the Raider Stakes at Devonport when he led and held off Patrick Curdy. And last week's run under his belt, mate. He's going to be fitter. He's drawn well, so I'm sure he'll be put into the race this week. And we've no Remember Joe in it, where Remember Joe just led and ran him along, and he couldn't get into the race last week. So I can see him up outside the leader, mate, or try and make a play at the top. And if he finds the top, I don't think they'll beat him, but we'll just have to wait and see. But Spliss is another return from Melbourne from the Dick Eves camp. They went over there with Berinya, and, before she went, she was racing very well, ran second to Patrick Cootie. And so off the 10 metres, she can begin quick, so if she's able to navigate through the front line and happen to find the breeze or lobbing behind the leader, she can be a very big danger at good each way odds. And as we mentioned, Our Mill's Dream, all he needs is a card into the race. And if he's close enough to the top of the straight, he's going to finish hard despite the 20-metre handicap. New Jort, he's a bit of an enigma. If he does everything right, we know he's a lot of ability, but it's a big if. So you've got to take that in hand when you have a few dollars on him. But if he does step, he's got a chance at, you know, double figure odds. And Bigger and Better Max and Spot 9 gets back onto the front line, mate. So they're chances for the exotics as well. But I'm happy to go 5, Dravendra from 4 and 8, Art Spitz and Our Meals Dream, New Jordan around 4th, mate.
Third leg of the quaddy is race number 7, only a small field of 6. Zeke Slater looks to have a strong hand.
Yeah, he does. Lucky Dave. You know, he raced Monday night and got beat, but he done a power of work in the breeze and battled away well. This is a bit tougher, but he comes up with the ideal out of Barrier 1, and about 4 runs ago, he had the same alley, and he led and won very impressively, copping a lot of pressure. So I can see him find the lead. And I don't think there's going to be a lot of pressure in tonight's race. So I think Star Chamber, who has got gate speed, will be happy to just drop straight onto his back. And that'll probably leave Divas Delight in the breeze, Liza with Z1-1. So I'm happy to go 1 Lucky Day from 2 Star Chamber. Divas Delight, Liza with Z for 3rd and 4th. And I pity the fool. If he gets the right run, he's got a chance at, you know, he'll be double figure odds and he's going all right. So, yeah, so just don't leave him out of anything you do. I pity the fool, number 6.
And the last leg, well, Jazzy Jane looks very hard to beat, finished the race off well last week.
Yeah, she does. She's racing out of a class, which, you know, so she's a 3-year-old taking on the C1s, I mean. So, but yeah, she just needs a little bit of luck from out at 7 because she's not blessed with brilliant gate speed, so she might have a little bit of work, which could leave her vulnerable, but I'm still happy to go her way because, you know, to be honest, it's a pretty plain race. Love the Life You Live is first up for Paul Ashwood, and we know Paul's had a great season this year. You know, his strike rate is pretty phenomenal. But drawn inside the back race, so, you know, he can get into the race at some stage. He's going to take plenty of beating. And Livia de Geraldstein, you know, she's been racing in tougher company. She's got a draw this time, so if she can take advantage of it, she can run a race and be a danger as well. Then you've got Brightstar, Billy Cannon, I've got them for the exotics, mate. I'm happy to go 7, Jazzy Jane from 3 and 8. Love the Life You Live in, Livia de Geraldstein, and 2, 5 and 6 for 4th and 5th, mate.
Now, what's your advice as far as putting a quaddy together for Sunday night?
Yeah, we'll go with quality. It's not easy, actually, the Sunday night. You know, there's pretty open races. So we'll go with quality in the first leg. I'm happy to go 1, 8 and 10. Second leg, we'll go 4, 5 and 8. Third leg, we'll go 1, 2, 3, 4 and 6. The last leg, we'll go 2, 5, 7 and 8. A $45 flex will give you 25% of that dividend chain. And we can also have another one where we just take Devendra 1 out in the second leg, and $15 will give you 25% of that dividend, mate.
Okay, any best bets?
Really like Mr. Ryan Jack. He never got into the race at Launceston last week, and he's drawn ideally in race 2. He'll just be in the lead, and over the miles suits him, and whatever beats him will win, to be honest. There's a nice filly going around in race 3. We've got a bit of time for his days like this. Drops in grade here, and, you know, she should just win. The only danger would be House Order. In race 4, Stoner Rainbow had no luck last week behind Resurgence Spirit. He ran the gate good, got half a length in crossing, then he go back to last, up on the fence, and never really got a crack at him. And he went to the line, you know, under a stranglehold, to be honest. So, and he might be able to spear the lead in race 4. So there's 3 best bets here, mate. And like I mentioned earlier, I pretty the fool's got a chance at, you know, double figure odds in race 7.
Then we head to Devonport on Monday, another 8-event card. First leg of the quaddy there is race number 5. It's the Mobile over the 2,286-metre journey. And a couple of interesting runners here, including Next Sound and Good Beginnings.
Yeah, it's a pretty tricky race, mate, to be honest, race 5. You know, like, it's going to be all important at the start. You know, they've got to ping, you know, which one pings to the lead is going to take a lot of catching. But I was impressed by Paddy's Ace. Last start at Hobart, like he ran the, you know, pinged away, shot 10 metres clear, and held that margin the whole way. He's drawn out wide in 6, so he's going to have to ping away quickly again tonight. And if he's able to get across him, I can't see why, he can't win again. But Bumble Don's racing well. He's drawn barrier 2, and like, if he can ping the lead, he's a tough old bugger, and, you know, he'll give him something to chase. And Pretty Boy Troy's drawn okay as well in 4, and he's got a... He can ping away at times too, so it's going to be all important at the start, mate. But as you mentioned, Next Sound racing very well, but it's just going to find it hard from the back row. And Good Beginnings dropping in class, you know, if any luck at all, he's got a chance as well, mate. But I'm happy to go over 6, Paddy Ace, to beat 2 and 4, Bumbledon and Pretty Boy Troy, and Billabong Birdie, Good Beginnings in Next Sound to fight out 4th place, mate.
Now, race number 6 is the C4 to C5, Novice Drivers Concession, second leg of the quaddy, and we've got Glenwood Jasper, a last start winner.
Yeah, God bless him, actually. He loves this track, to be honest. There's not many horses that love Devonport, and he's one horse that can come from last and win at Devonport, which is pretty rare. But being the sole runner off the back row, mate, he's going to get a good run through, and he's going to take a pair of holding out at the finish. You know, Peace Calls Racing career best for him. I just don't know where he's going to end up from barrier two, because Black Centurion's drawn the pole. He's the leader. You know, I just don't know where he's at the moment, Black Centurion. At his best, he'd lead and win, but he's just racing a bit below his best at the moment. And Grand Passion's always thereabouts, mate. But Greenwood Jasper's the way to go. I really like Greenwood Jasper, mate. Small field, number 7. It'll be 2-piece score, 1 Black Centurion and 3 Grand Passion, mate.
Now in race number 7, it's over the 22.97 again, and we've got Delightful Lily drawn inside the second line.
Yeah, tricky draw, but she's racing very well, Delightful Lily. You know, it's a credit, you know, because she's got a few problems, but yeah, she's come back in good nick. But just the barrier really concerns me inside the back row, falling out of Sudoku. Fletch Davis was very impressive winning last week, and he's drawn 2. Wherever he finds the lead off El Sudoku or sits outside him, he should be able to control the race. So I'm happy to go Fletch Davis to beat Delightful Lily, who's going to, you know, probably be behind the leader or worst back three back defence. You know, she's racing very well and she can finish strongly. She just needs to get a crack at him. Party Boy Glenwood went around a very short price favourite last start, and, you know, his manners let him down big time. He just galloped out at the start. But he's drawn to follow out Fletch Davis. If he does everything right, mate, he's going to be a huge danger. He was short odds on a favourite against similar opposition last week. Wipe the Smile, Majestic Art are always chances for the right run. So I'm happy to go 2 Fletch Davis from 7 Delightful Lily, 8 Party Boy Glenwood. We've wiped the Smile and Majestic Art fight out 4th place, numbers 4 and 9, mate.
And in the last, we've got the Claimer over the 22.97, Sky Tower and Baby It's You, the class runners.
Yeah, they're racing well, Baby It's You and Sky Tower. They've drawn to, you know, 1's drawn to lead and 7's drawn to following behind. But the one to beat is Mill Park Maestro. He's dropping back from, you know, racing against some serious class horses, and he's very capable of doing a power of work. So I'm just seeing pushing forward, keep going forward till he gets outside Baby It's You, and I think he'd be too strong for him, Shane, to be honest. But Baby It's You, he loves to lead, and if he can get away with it early, you know, he will take some beating, but he's just not going as good as what he was, say, 3 or 4 weeks ago. And Sky Tower, he gets the gun run just behind him, and he's a good old type of Sky Tower. You know, he would have been a good horse to own, mate, always thereabouts, but he's going to be around the money as well. And Chizu Tudor and Shanghai Knight are next best, they'll fight out 3rd and 4th, mate. But I'm happy to go Mill Park Maestro to beat 1 Baby It's You and Sky Tower with 4 and 5 to run 3rd and 4th, Tissue Tater, Shanghai Knight, mate.
So what's the quadrilla look like for Devonport if we're aiming to make a profit?
Well, I'm happy to go to quality Devonport. First leg 2.46, second leg 1.27, third leg 2.478, and I'll just go Mill Park Maestro, one out the last leg. $36 will give you 100%, mate.
Anything else stand out on the card?
Yeah, like I like the run of Ty Champ on Sunday night at Launceston and hit the lead and only got ran down late at its first start and drawn barrier 2 in race 2, so, and this is a lot weaker, so I can see him either sitting outside the leader or finding the top, and he's going to take a pair of reading Ty Champ for Kate McLeod.
Yeah, a little bit of money for it last week, wasn't there?
Yeah, and unlucky, nearly come off, to be honest. Yeah, but I'm glad Jane Grant just nabbed him on the line, to be honest, Shane, for my own benefit. Greenwood Jasper, like I mentioned earlier, you would have heard I'm pretty keen on him just in that race, and Mel Park Maestro in the line. So there's 3 good things, I think, at Devonport. Race 2, number 2, race 6, number 7, and race 8, number 6. And in the last race, you know, if we backed around a trifecta, 6 to win from 1, 4, 5 and 7, 2nd and 3rd, you know, $12 flex, you'll give you 100%. It's not going to pay a lot. Just hope that Shanghai Knight or and Tissue Tooting get in the placings, so it'll bump up a bit and just go first 4 the same, mate. 6 to win from 1, 4, 5, 7 for 2nd, 3rd and 4th, $24, give you 100% of that dividend, mate.
Okay, Jamie, thanks for your thoughts on the 2 programs coming up at the weekend, Hobart Sunday, Devonport on Monday. And for a top analysis of all the races, you can head to the tasracing.com.au website and go to Punter's Corner and check out all of Jamie's tips for all the races coming up in Tasmania. Thanks for your time today.
No worries, mate. Thanks for God, Cobber.
Set now, racing.
Now on Tas Racing Talk, time to talk greyhounds.
Time to talk greyhound racing now on Taz Racing Talk, and it was Breeders' Classic final night in Hobart on Thursday. To tell us all about the week that was is Greg Fay. How are you, Greg?
I'm good, thanks, Shane.
Now, this Breeders' Classic, a special one for you this year.
Yes, certainly was. Gary and I bred the winner, had 2 in the final. The lesser of the 2, ability-wise, won the race, but that's pretty irrelevant when you're able to win a feature race like the Breeders'. And I must say, it's one of the biggest thrills we ever got to see them born and come through and win a race like that.
So, Rip and Ted, not as fast as Bruni Venture, but certainly has its mind on the job on race night.
Oh, look, he's a bit of a... If he was a child, he'd be ADD. He's just all over the shop, but he saves his best for race night. And there were a lot of good beginners in that race, and he actually beat them out. There was a little bit of trouble behind, which probably Bruni Venture copped the most of it. And he got away with a big break and won. Shannon Betty was fantastic, running second for Graham Moat. Buckle Up Fletch, he ran his normal honest race, and after being cleaned up early, Bruni Venture got home well for fourth. But I think you could follow most of the dogs in that race with, well, to give you an idea, Private Riley, which finished towards the rear, came out and won at Devonport on Tuesday. So the form will stand up from that.
Absolutely, and Rod Ransley had a great night as well, bookending the card with Aeroplane Ritchie and also Nardo Strom.
Yeah, certainly got everyone talking with Aeroplane Ritchie. It had its first start. It was heavily supported, won by 11.5 lengths and ran 25.99 on debut. Way too early to be putting too big a wraps on it, because we need to see what it can do under a bit more pressure. But, gee, the raw material is there, isn't it, when you can run that on debut. And then at the end of the night, he won with Nardo Strom, which not in the same league. Good, honest little dog that'll just win in its turn.
And Russell Watts, a winning treble, nothing new of late with the littermates from the Kinloch Bray Shanlon Supreme litter, and also the Inform Super Bowl.
Yes, Island Force having its first middle distance run at Hobart. That's 2 for 2 over the middle distances, though, having won at Launceston. She's probably the fastest dog in his kennel. Very, very good bitch. Irish Gift. Just overpowered Touch of Venus close to the line, and he's got the job done now with a juvenile win on all three tracks. And Super Bowl, she's just a good little... No, she's better than a toiler. I was going to say a toiler. She's a lot better than that. But she'll never reach great heights, but she's going to win a lot of races because she's just a really, really good chasing bitch that can begin well.
And a smart one for Gary and Robin Johnson. Senor Slammer notching up its 7th win.
Yep. Senor Slammer, when he finds the bunny, is a very smart dog. By gee, he was tested on Thursday night, though, because Lacking Illusion for Alan Anderson went with him virtually every step of the way, and he had to pull out all stops to beat her by neck.
Aroma Pache started the night off as a reserve runner, sneaked into box number 6 and produced the goods.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Both Aroma Pache and Bit Hot Finchie are high-class dogs, and they were, for Shane Whitney, they were the two reserves in the race. He got a run with one of them and won, and Bit Odd Finchie's probably a quicker dog, so it's a funny game sometimes.
And Dave Polly bounced Barnes Bay back to winning form.
Yeah, a lot of bees in that one, Shane.
There is.
Look, Barnes Bay's been a pretty smart dog out of a very good litter all the way through. Great tailors, Daniels Bay, others in that litter that can really run. And he gave the early lead and knew his lad probably 2 or 3 lengths, but he won running away in the end.
Launceston on Monday night. It was heat night of the three divisions of the JG Nelson Cup, and it was Night Tremors who kept its winning run intact for Eileen Thomas.
Yes, he's only been beaten once, and Eileen's got a very, very professional young dog here that just jumps and runs, and he ran 30-10 at his Launceston debut.
Ted Medhurst, runners in that race, superficial and, yeah, right, really stormed home. That form was made look even better when the Littermate Star Chamber came out and ran right up to that in the second of the two heats.
Yeah, and I was pretty impressed with him. He ran exactly the same time as Night Tremors, but I like the way he burrowed up on the fence going into the back, and he won running away by 6 lengths at only his second start.
Yeah, he really looked as if he meant business, didn't he? And great to see David Croswell back in the winner's list with Point Made, although some punters weren't that happy. It was at huge odds.
No, it was wonderful to see David get a winner after the terrible couple of weeks that he's had losing his wife Margaret. Point Made was one of the real roughies in the race. Varco was the raging favourite once again, and gee, I don't know what's gone wrong with Varco, because he's in the best hands and he'd be in the best physical condition, but his mind's just not there at the moment. But, yeah, good winter Point, mate.
Well, when Golden Sage came up with the red rug, the only object licking its lips bigger than Golden Sage was Butch Deverell.
Yeah, look, Butch has got a very good dog in Golden Sage. Unfortunately, for a dog of his ability, he's a bit of a one-trick pony. If he's not on the fence, he's not a dog. But with box one, again, he burrowed up on the first turn, and he ran a very good 29.96 for his first Launceston win.
Yeah, certainly grows a leg from the red. Now, Steve Hutt doing a mighty job with the Nitro Greyhounds, and Red Nitro made it 3 wins from its last 4.
Yeah, he's the best of them. And look, that was another field full of very good beginners, and he had box 5, but he crossed them on the first turn. And, oh, look, they never look like beating him. He's a very smart dog.
And a much-anticipated clash in the Division 1 heat with Buckle Up Wes and Hellier Bolt, and they didn't let their supporters down.
No, well, it was a strange race, really, because both of them met a little bit of interference, particularly Helia Bolt. Knew his lad come out like only knew his lad can and got down to the first turn. But both Helia Bolt and Buckle Up Wes kicked up inside him. And I think if Buckle Up Wes hadn't have crossed Helia Bolt on the first turn and he got badly checked at the same time, Helia Bolt, I think the result may have been different. But look, he's just a great, great dog. He won in 30.11, which is half a second slower than he can run, but that was because of the early interference. Anyone who likes Helia Bolt, don't drop off. His run was enormous.
And, of course, they'll clash again on Monday night in the final. Gemstone Jack gave Backers a heart attack. He's always doing that. Got home by a nose.
He gave the Backers of the favourite a heart attack because he nailed her right on the line, Her Highness, who's a terrific little bitch for Keith Nichols. Gemstone Jack, he's a dog I love to hate. Terrific ability, but he plays games, doesn't he? He got there right in the last stride. Very, very talented dog.
And Brendan Purcell's got the informal honour going well, 8 from 22.
Yes, terrific little bitch, this one. And she's another one out of that litter we were talking about earlier of Barnes Bay. Box 8's not where she wanted to be, but she worked up on the first turn and crossed the early leader hard as nails and then held off Shantytown and Adelaide. She was very good.
And followers of the Rod Rensley kennel, well, you couldn't lose it after Good Question won the last.
No, he had box 1. Box 2 was scratched and box 3 was the widest of wide, wide runners. So it did point towards him and he certainly didn't let anyone down. He was in front every step of the way and he won by a good 6 lengths from a very, very good run from Nick Nack Norris. But he does do that a lot of times.
Devonport on Tuesday. Owner breeder Colleen Cuthbertson was back to the fore with trainer Neville Allison with a couple of smart ones at the moment on their hands. Private Riley and How's That Grace? Particularly How's That Grace? That was a blistering run.
Yep, they both came through the Breeders' Classic. One made the final and one was unlucky not to. Private Riley got the job done in 26.04. He's a very nice dog, but he's not in the same league ability-wise as How's That Grace. She began probably the best she's begun in her 3 or 4 starts from box 2. Rounded up the early leader, Buckle Up Geordie, and ran 25.53. What a run.
And of course, they're all by the 13 black icy popsicle lit out. That's an interesting combination that Carlene's got there.
Certainly is. One was a track record holder over 600, and the other one was a track record holder over 278. So the mix has proven to be a good one.
Absolutely. The 452s and the 515s looking very juicy at the moment. Eileen Thomas produced a first, started with good manners in the second race.
Yeah, look, that was a pretty modest contest, and I want to see a bit more of Layla's dream before I put any wraps on it. But when you jump in front off box 6 on debut, the time was steady, 26.30, but you can't knock winning form, especially out of a bad draw.
Well, I took the first two selections, I made the first two selections on form and struggled to come up with a third pick, so my daughter's name's Layla, so I threw it in, and didn't I look confident after it won at odds of about 20-1, looked very smart at that point.
Yes, I like your form, your form work, it's very good.
There was nothing behind it. Apart from that, now, Gary Johnson winning treble, starting off with Colonel Kane, 19 starts to break through, but did it in good style.
Yes, that was a maiden, and some of them have been a maiden for a long time. And unfortunately, about 6 of them are going to be a maiden for a very, very long time to come. Look, he's just a dog, Colonel Kane. I think Gary would be the first one to admit that. But he persevered. He got a win in 26.18. And let's hope he can repeat the dose somewhere.
Now, we talk about Golden Sage loving the red. What about Mega Daenerys?
Yeah, she's had no luck in her races. She doesn't often draw a good box. By gee, the only thing that surprised me with her win was the fact that she was able to lead, because she can be a bit of a duffer early. But she held the lead. Hello Scott, which is a pretty strong dog for Margaret Rosendale, was chasing all the way, but still had 3 1/4 lengths to spare on the line in 25.61, which is excellent.
And Part-Time Pete rounded off the treble with a barnstorming finish.
Yeah, don't know how he did that. He's a dog who does everything wrong, but that was a race of enormous interference. The leaders were bumping all the way, Aroma Peche, Wee Fire and Helia Tangles. He joined in when Blinking Becky fell, and she cleaned up Lou James, which was the biggest certainty beaten of the week. But he does do that a bit because he gets a long way back. Look, Part-Time Pete's pretty versatile, but he doesn't win out of turn.
Ukulele Swingers chased home a couple of smart ones of late for Lee Wood and finally was rewarded for its consistency.
Yeah, look, he hasn't raced this dog much. Honest to Rod crossed the favourite Super Bowl at the start, and Ukulele Swinger got into second pretty quickly. And he ran, pretty nice time, 25.95. There's got to be more wins in him.
Origin Deciders come good now. The rugby series is done and dusted. 2 wins in the space of 8 days, and they've both been pretty impressive runs.
Yep, look, good mates in Peter Higgins and Darren Critchley have had this bitch from day dot. started off life looking like a pedestrian, but now she's looking like a sprinter in the Tour de France. She was very, very good leading all the way in 25.64. I don't know where she pulled that from, but let's hope she can repeat it.
And J&A, well, that's a strong winning form, and it continues for the girls with a great performance leading all the way.
Yeah, look, as Margaret Rosendale deserved that win, because earlier in the day she'd had some terrible luck with Wilson Copper falling, and Lou James later on was unlucky. J&A is one of the speediest dogs racing at the moment, and, look, was never in danger after they'd got off the mat.
Fun time, broke through for Loretta McChain.
Yes, a modest maiden contest. Take Up Tracy jumped in front. Fun time, soon on its hammer. Ran a couple of lengths in front, then Take Up Tracy got a second wind and made it interesting towards the line. But, you know, good mannered dog, fun time, and should win again.
And Arnold Bibby, 3 seconds in a row, and finally broke through for Jed Mace.
Yeah, look, he had one here a little while ago in 25.70-odd. So when he settled second, he was always going to run down Take Up Maggie, which is a professional place getter. And 25.88 makes two good wins at Devonport now, both in fast time. So, yeah, he'll win again.
What about a greyhound for us to follow?
Look, I think the dog that led, How's That Grace, Buckle Up Geordie. He had box one, which was an advantage, of course, but to be beaten in such fast time, he's got to be winning soon.
OK, Buckle Up Geordie, and of course that big watch on Lou James, and let's hope he gets some luck at some stage.
He's sure to, especially when he gets over 600.
Good on you. Thanks, Greg.
Thanks, Shane.
Live at 5 every Wednesday on Carnival, Taz Racing Talk with Shane Yates.
Time for some more winners now on the Greyhound segment of Taz Racing Talk, and the man that's tipped us plenty of winners of late, Rick Puccinelli. How are you, Rick?
Well, Shane.
2 out of 3 specials last week. When are we going to nail 3 out of 3?
Won't be far away. That song's getting a bit repetitive, but we'll get there shortly.
Good on you, Meatloaf. So Hobart coming up tomorrow night. Mega Daneri, strong win at Devonport on Tuesday. Can it go back-to-back?
Can't see why not, Shane. Stopped the clock at 25.61, jumped in front, led all the way. If it jumps in front tomorrow night, I think it'll be winning. I've got a clearly on top. 3 Mega Daneris. 2 Lashing Illusions off my speed maps as one of the leaders. And I think it ran a bold race, and it's run second behind Senor Slammer. Only got beat a quarter of a length. Thought its run was very good. Got a real good chance. Number 7, Mumford Sun. Now, he was spotted off the videos on Monday night, Shane. He settled well back, and he stormed home and run third. He's coming off a few luckless runs at the Meadows. Look, he's the KO dog, and I've got a real soft spot for him because he gives 110% every time he goes around. I've put him in for third, and I put in number 6, High Caution. Always thereabouts. Just been struggling a little bit lately, but look, still going A-OK. 3, 2, 7, and 6.
In the second leg, how do you go past the Russell Watts runner?
You can't, Shane, because it'll be probably around the $1.40, $1.50 mark. His team's on fire, and they've been on fire, well, every month of the year they're on fire. I want to be his bank manager, Russell Watts' bank manager. He's got plenty, Russell, and I'm going to try and sniff him next time I see him. 5 on Top Island's Force. 8 I put in Colonel Kane. Didn't mind its win at Devonport on Tuesday, and I think the Devonport form will hold up in a race like this as a good trifecta, hope number 8. 7, Windburn Blaze, very funny dog, got a big motor. Look, if he puts in, he could be the KO dog. I put him in for third. And I put in number 4, Cal Drago. Actually showed very good speed behind Island's Force over the 590. Got very tired. I'd include it in all of my multiples. 5, 8, 7, and 4.
Well, millionaires don't mind lending to millionaires, so let's head to leg number 3. Dave Polly's done a great job with Barnes Bay, and it comes up with the red box again.
Yeah, going good, Shane, and look, it's in the mix. I've actually put it in for second. I've gone with Pipstar. I thought he was a good thing at Devonport at his last appearance, and he walked out. She walked out, and to run third behind that was then, I thought his run was good. Got a good little stat at Hobart where it's been placed. 10 of 14. Just think from box 5 with a wide runner drawn in 6 that it might have a good room early. And I put it on top. 5 Pipstar to beat 1 Barnes Bay, going very good at the moment. Put in number 3, Good Odds Demon. Probably a little bit of a rising class, but he's going very good and he's missed a consistency. Got to put him in for third. And the KO dog, Shantytown Lad, got a very good record from box 8. Goes very good in Hobart. Got a good draw. 5, 1, 3 and 8.
And in the last leg, Flash Innings, number 8, has been in top form of late.
Yeah, Shane, just on my speed map, so I've got it as one of the leaders in the race, and for that reason, I've put it on top, Flash Innings. And she's very, very hard to beat once she finds the bunny. One Shanlon Vapor will go very good from an inside draw. 3 runs ago, it ran second behind Falonde from this draw. Its recent 2 runs, it's had no luck, and just from box 1, it'll definitely improve. 7 Bit Hot Finchie, now with Shane Whitney, look, was very heavily supported at its debut run for the stable behind Dirty Rich. Only got beat 4.75 lengths. And I will tell the listeners that it's a type of greyhound that's got to be up near the lead, and it was never in the race when it ran fifth, and I just think it'll improve. And 2 Hannah Bowden, going very, very good for the Gaylene Townsend kennel, has got a chance. 8, 1, 7, and 2.
8, 1, 7, and 2 in the last leg, so that makes the quality for Hobart in the first leg, 3, 2, 7, 6. Second leg, 5, 8, 7, 4. Third leg, 5, 1, 3, 8. And in the last leg, 8, 1, 7, and 2. What about a best?
We're going with the Charlie Moat Train greyhound in race 1, number 2, Shanlon Betty. Look, I just think that the form out of the Breeders' Series is very, very good form. Got a sneaking suspicion off my speed map she might jump in front. If she does so, she'll run around the 26.30, 26.40. And I think Charlie will get the money. Race 1, number 2, Shanlon Betty.
Launceston on Monday. It's final night of the J.G. Nelson Cup, Divisions 1, 2 and 3. The Grade 4 is the first leg of the quaddie. It's race number 5. To Be True has come up with its favourite box, box number 1.
Yeah, Shane, I put it in for second. Look, I don't normally really like and spruken one in a quaddie, but I'm going to play one out myself in the quaddie with number 6, Despicable Ben. Thought it was a tragedy beaten behind Golden Sage. They recorded 29.96, and people are going to say that I'm mad, but he was looming up. He got a severe check down the back. I think he's a pretty fair dog. I'll be playing him one out. I'm going to put in number 1, To Be True, for second. 7, Go Betty, and 8, Get Up Alvin. But I really, really like number 6, Despicable Ben.
Now, in the second leg, good question. Goes from box number 1 out to box number 8. Is it going to be a problem?
Look, Shane, it's got a good little stat from box 8. I think it's got some chance. I went with 3 Red Nitro. He was taken with his win beating Despicable Matt. He showed very, very good speed. He recorded 30 and 13, clearly not the quickest, but he's got genuine high early speed, and if he leads, he'll take a power of beating. 8, Good Question, I put in for second. 2, Roxy Rhythm, I put in for third, and I put in number 1, Alana. Like, and I'm leaving out Golden Sage, but he's going from box 1 to box 6. And it was his only win on the Launceston track was last week. I think he's some risk from the draw. 3, 8, 2, and 1.
In the third leg, Super Bowl, sent out favourite on Tuesday. Failed to get the prize there. Can it bounce back?
Yeah, Shane, very funny little bitch, Super Bowl. On the bunny, she's awesome. And off the bunny, she's only just a media dog. And look, I've got to put her on top because on my speed map, she might go to the lead. 4 on top, Super Bowl. 1 Bailey's Comet was spotted, even though it ran 6th at its last start behind Alana, and only got beat 3.75 lengths and was finding the line very, very strongly. I think it's a real danger. 3 Hellier Evans, been thereabouts in recent weeks, and 7 Super Funds. Another one that's on my speed maps will be up near the lead. Got some chance. 4, 1, 3, 7.
The Division 1 final of the J.G. Nelson Cup's the one we're looking forward to. The clash again of Buckle Up Wes and Hell Yeah Bolt.
Yeah, look, Shane, there was a bit of interference in that race. We thought, as we talked last week, that Nui's lad might cross them and might have caused a little bit of trouble, and he certainly did that. He came across them, and then there was a shuffle up at the first bend. But look, class always prevails, and Buckle Up Wes, now that he's got a desperate railer in 6 and a wide runner in 8, he's clearly the one. He'll start short. 5 Hellier Bolt, he wasn't disgraced last week running second behind Buckle Up Wes. I thought his run was very good. 1 Her Highness for third, and 2 Gemstone Jack. He just sticks his head out when he needs to or when he wants to. 7 and 5, a long way back to 1 and 2.
Okay, so that makes the Launceston Quaddie 6 standing out in the first leg. If you're looking to play something a little wider, numbers 1, 7 and 8. In the second leg, 3, 8, 2, 1. Third leg, 4, 1, 3, 7. Last leg, 7, 5, 1 and 2. Best bet for Launceston.
Shane, when I was going through the program looking for my best bet, I looked at race 1 and I thought, well, there's a certain leader in number 5, Tez Bore, but he can't run 515 metres. Then it dawned on me it was a 278 metre race, and I said to myself, well, he'll just lead and win. Race 1, number 5, Tez Bore.
Okay, so we've got that decided. So we've got 2 first races to have our best bets in so far. Hobart race 1, number 2, Launceston race 1, number 5. which should set us up for the rest of the program. Devonport on Tuesday. Mick Stringer returns to Devonport with Underclass Hero in the first.
And he'll win, Shane, too. He's a very, very classy greyhound. Coming off a bit of a break. I don't know if he's had a setback or whatever, but he's a very classy individual. I think he'll win. 4 Wee Fire for second will be up near the lead. Had no luck at all at Devonport on Tuesday. I put in number 7, Arnold Bibby. Went good on Tuesday winning, and I thought it would have had a chance. And Hello Scott, it chased home Mega Daenerys, and I thought its run was good. 1, 4, 7, and 8.
Second leg, you wouldn't be jumping off the Senior Slammer bandwagon.
No, I'm not, Shane, but look, I will tell the listeners that there's 8 runners, and I think there's 8 chances. It's not clear-cut. There's very much a lot of genuine early speed here. I've gone with Senor Slammer because of the box draw, and he's got high speed, and he might zoom down the outside. I put in 6 Mega Daenerys for second. I put in 1 Great Taylors for third, and I put in number 2, Whitford Miss, for fourth. But, look, I've left out Pip Star and Dirty Rich, and they're going very, very good. Found it a very, very hard race to assess. 8, 6, 1, and 2.
Third leg is the Grade 5. Russell Watts with a red runner in Eldon.
Yeah. Look, he's only had a couple of starts, Shaney. I reckon he's had a few injury problems, and Russell's nurtured him back. Look, box 1, it'd be right up his alley. He's a desperate railer. I think he's the way to go. Merrick Pines is resuming from a little bit of a break. Got very, very good high speed. Box 8 might suit it, and it might, you know, get a bit of a break at some stage mid-race. And at the moment, the way Devonport's playing, you've got to be in the first 2. I put it in for 2nd. 7, Alaskan Prince, one trained by Gary Johnson, had 16 starts on the mainland for 1 win and 4 minor placings. I've got to show a healthy respect for it. And I put in number 5, Cape Town Advice. Didn't mind its run at Devonport on Tuesday. Got a rough chance. 1, 8, 7, and 5.
1, 8, 7, and 5, and then the last leg, my old favourite, Quick Advance goes around.
Yeah, I think he's your pin-up dog, Shane, and look, he's my on-top pick. He goes good at Devonport. He's got a very, very good draw. He'd be very, very hard to beat. Thought Hello Benny might be the improver from box 1. He's a desperate railer, goes good at Devonport. He might be a little bit of value. I put him in for 2nd. I put in number 5, Dominator Girl. She's had no luck at her recent runs. She goes good at Devonport. Paul Hilly's a very, very good mentor with the dog. I put it in for 3rd. And I put in Flash Innings. She could be one of the leaders in the event. And as we know, leaders are very hard to beat. 2, 1, 5, and 3.
That makes the quaddie for Devonport. First leg, 1, 4, 7, 8. Second leg, 8, 6, 1, 2. Third leg, 1, 8, 7, 5. Last leg, 2, 1, 5, and 3. Now, you've gone early, Hobart and Launceston, race number 1. Are we going to race number 1 again?
Shane, we're going the complete opposite. We're going to race 10.
Gee, you're hard to read.
That's why I was only a spin bowler when I was playing cricket.
That's it.
Race 10, number 1, Amazing Harry, Shane. Look, Terry Ackley's done a great job with this greyhound since taking him over. He's been coming out of a box a lot better. He's run at Launceston on Monday night, was full of merit. I think he'll punch through, hold the lead, and I think he'll win. I think he's a pretty handy little type of a dog. Race 10, number 1, Amazing Harry.
Good on you, Rick. Thanks for your expert thoughts today.
Thanks, Shane.
Live at 5, every Wednesday on Carnival, Taz Racing Talk.
Well, that just about takes us away for another week of Taz Racing Talk. But before we go, the ultimate punter's experience, your chance to win a return trip for 2 to Tassie, car hire around the state, accommodation thanks to our partners, the Launceston Country Club and Rest Point in Hobart. And you'll also be wining and dining at tracks around the state. Now, all you need to do is go to the tazracing.com.au site, click on the Taz Racing icon, enter the quiz, and all you need to do is answer this question. Name the young Tasmanian driver in red-hot form on the Victorian harness racing circuit at the moment, and particularly on a Wednesday. He's just driving winners left, right and centre, and Kevin Nielsen mentioned him a little earlier in the show. So just name that young Tasmanian driver in outstanding form at the moment in Victoria. Head to the tazracing.com.au website and click on the Taz Racing Talk icon. Just enter the quiz there and you could be in the running to win that great prize, the ultimate punter's experience in Tasmania. Thanks for your company again today. Look forward to it again next week.
Taz Racing Talk, live at 5 every Wednesday on Carnival. On digital radio across Melbourne, streaming on your computer, tablet and smartphone. And later on podcast at rsn.net.au and tazracing.com.au.
This podcast was brought to you by rsn.net.au.